Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with our listeners again today. So thankful to have this opportunity to get with you and open up God's Word and study together. And we're thankful that you want to learn more from God's teachings through the Bible, the Scriptures. They're there. You know, it's the greatest book that has ever been written down, and it is not written down by men who just made it up as they went along, but it is truly God's inspired word, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Now, that means that when you look at the original Greek language there, when Paul said all scripture is given by inspiration of God, that means literally all scripture is God-breathed. And the sense being, as we understand verbal speech, the words coming across God's very lips. Now, we know the Scriptures teach us that God is not human, God is spirit, but that is an image that we can relate to because we speak words all the time. And so when we're reading the Scriptures, we're reading God's very word, and that's important to us because that communicates to us God's very will for our lives. We encourage you to come and check us out at the Sunny Slope Church of Christ. Our church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. 3606 North 108th Street. Bible classes begin on Sunday mornings at 9:30, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evenings, 6 o'clock, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study. Wednesday evenings, midweek Bible classes begin at 6:30 each Wednesday evening. Now, you're welcome to any and all of these services. Many of our radio listeners have come and checked us out in the past, and many have stayed with us. We hope that you will come and get to know us. Let us get to know you. Worship God with us. Study with us from His Word and grow spiritually with us. We encourage you to tell other people about the program, Search the Scriptures. Encourage them to listen. We're on several times a day, 5 days a week. Now also, many people cannot tune in at the prescribed times because of their work schedule or whatever other situation might, you know, prohibit them from being able to tune in at those times. But if you'll sign up for our podcasting, you can go to our website, churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com, click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. It's free. It always will be free. And when you do that, then you will receive this radio program automatically to your smart device, whether that's your phone or computer or whatever device you choose. It'll be automatic, 5 days a week. But you'll also receive a whole lot of other Bible teaching that will automatically come to your device as well. So take advantage of that yourself and tell others to do the same. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. We're talking about worry. Now, we're talking about worry in relation to the kind of the broad theme that we have been focusing on for some time now, and that's heart troubles. We're talking about not physical heart troubles or problems, but we're talking about problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective, So we've looked at a whole lot of, well, behaviors, perhaps, or just kind of how we think, how we go about in our lives. And from a spiritual perspective, these are problems of the heart. We've talked about laziness. We've talked about hatred. We've talked about anger, which really generates hatred. We've talked about fear and gossip. And in this particular section, we're focusing on worry. We are a worrying people in our land, in our culture. We have a culture of worry. Well, and certainly there are some things that from a general perspective, we could say we've got some worrisome problems in our land. But worry is a problem of the heart that can ultimately take us over. It can end up guiding us in some directions just instinctively that we're not even contemplating taking, but worry will kind of push us in those directions, and they're negative. So we looked at Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, and there we found Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. In that particular 10-verse text, He used the word worry 5 times and worrying 1 additional time. Now, we've kind of looked over one of those times when he used the word worry because it was not necessarily directly at us. But 3 times he actually said, do not worry. 2 more times he either used the word worry or worrying in relation to our direct behavior. So he said, why are you worrying about these things? If you're truly following me, if you're truly walking with God in faithful obedience on a consistent basis, God's going to take care of you. That does not mean we can go sit under a shade tree and just wait for God's blessings to fall down upon us. No, we still have to be productive. We still have to be responsible in doing the work that we need to do in order to take care of ourselves and our families. But in one particular question, Jesus said, worrying? Let's say you're shorter than you'd like to be. Will worrying about it add 1 cubit to your stature? Or we might say from our perspective, will worrying about, how short you are, you want to be taller, is that going to make you 1 inch taller? Just worrying about it? I've known lots of people who were very short, very short. I used to preach in a congregation down in Louisiana where, I've told the story that seemed almost like one young lady's life's ambition was to become taller than her mother, who was only about 4 feet 11 inches tall, and she never made it. Never made it. Well, worrying about it's not going to make her taller. And so he even talks about how we may worry about food, clothing, shelter, but he said, look at how God feeds the birds of the air. Look at how he has dressed the flowers of the field. If God can do those things for birds, for vegetation, flowers, don't you think he can take care of you too in your needs? Now, that does not necessarily mean he's going to make you monetarily wealthy, but he can take care of you if you are truly walking with him in true, faithful, dedicated obedience on a consistent basis. So we need to be careful about worry. Again, to worry is to have a troubled state of mind. See, that's negative. And what does that ultimately produce within us emotionally and even physically? Lots of times, worry leads us to anxiety, leads us to even to panic attacks. And how many people are on anti-anxiety medications because they are worriers? So we need to learn the lesson. We cannot stop some things from happening, but we don't have to worry all the time, even over some things that have already happened. We began looking at classifications of worry last time. And the first classification that I am laying out in this particular line of thought and study is we worry about things that have already happened. Now, again, people worry about things that have already happened. If it's already happened, does it really need to be worried about? Now, are there some situations that take place that cause us concern, even sorrow? Well, sure, the death of a loved one would be one of those. But will worrying about the death of a loved one make the death not have happened? Will it bring that person back to life? Of course not. Can worry erase from your memory or the memory of others involved over some situation? No. In fact, it just enhances it, it puts a spotlight on that in your memory. Well, worry cannot change what has already happened. Now, you can become thoughtful. You can become, introspective. You can start considering, how can I respond to whatever this is that has happened in a productive way, in a positive way? But that's different than worry. We've asked the question, have you ever tried to saw sawdust? Well, of course, it would be an impossibility. Well, that's like worrying over something that has already happened. Some people worry about sin in their past life. They've done some terrible things. And I have talked to a number of people who have thought they had done such terrible things in their life that they surely God would not forgive them. They were beyond forgiveness. Or else they were concerned that maybe they were beyond forgiveness. Well, God has said through his word, 2 Peter 3:9, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And Jesus, when he extended the great invitation in Matthew 11:28-29, he said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Coming to God through Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation and eternal life, as we're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, that is the answer to worry. That's the answer. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, John 3:16. And he demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. So if your worry involves sin, you can take care of that. You don't have to worry about that anymore because you can be forgiven, again, as you repent of your sins and come to God through Jesus Christ, confessing your faith in Christ as God's Son and your Lord and Savior, and surrendering to him by being buried in the waters of baptism. And the blood that he shed on the cross for you almost 2,000 years ago, that'll cleanse you of the guilt of your sins. God will forgive. And that sin that you have had in your past, you can stop worrying about it because you will have been forgiven. Now, if your worry involves a conflict with someone, then you can take proactive steps to try to reconcile the matter with that individual. You can take proactive steps. You can try to do things let that person know that you're sorry and that you want to make things right. Now, that's part of repentance, again, when you look at it from the broader perspective. But we look in Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 17. We'll read down through verse 21. And here the Apostle Paul wrote along this line, "Repay no one evil for evil." Now that, again, flies in the face of some of our cultural mindset. You know, a lot of our cultural mindset is if someone hits you, hit them back harder. Or if someone has done something that offended you in some way, whether they intended it or not, well, you just let them have it. You get back at them some way. In fact, again, as I've been emphasizing, our culture right now in our country is filled with hatred. I've never seen it like this. I don't believe in my whole life, and I've been around a while. Filled with hatred, animosity. If you don't agree with me, you need to be destroyed. You need to be hurt badly. Maybe your position, you know, as far as your professional career is concerned, needs to be destroyed. Yeah, that's ugliness. That is sin in itself that needs to be repented of and sought forgiveness for. So Paul says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, don't start pointing fingers at the other person or other people and say, well, they this. No, you look in the mirror. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves. Again, that flies in the face of our cultural mindset right now. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So you can trust God if you're walking with God in faithfulness consistently. You can trust God to take care of the situation. You just live that faithful, dedicated, exemplary Christian life. Paul goes on and says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Now somebody says, well, that's crazy. He's your enemy. You can win over a whole lot of people by treating them right in response to their treating you wrong. Paul goes on and says, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, he concludes. And so we need to take that instruction to heart. It has teeth, so to speak. Not biting teeth to hurt somebody, but it has weight and depth to really reconcile with somebody if that's what you're worrying over, something that has happened in your past. Now, if the matter involves a brother or sister in Christ, then God has given us steps to take in such cases. If a fellow Christian has become unfaithful, go to him in love and strive to lead him back to faithfulness. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 instructs us to do that. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So not going with a policeman-like demeanor, you know, looking down your nose, you know, and you know, telling them off. No, if you're worrying about a brother or sister who has gone astray, pray for them. Talk to them. Try to lead them back. James said in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, if you lead such a brother back, he says, you've saved a soul from death and covered a multitude of sins. If you need to make something right yourself with another Christian, brother or sister, then go to him or her and humbly repent before him or her. Matthew 5, verses 23 and 24. If a brother or sister in Christ has sinned against you, and you're worrying about that, something that has already happened again, then go to that individual privately, in love, in patience, with a readiness to forgive, and confront him or her with their sin against you. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. If the matter over which you are worrying is incidental, if it's really not that big a deal, then stop worrying about it. Everybody says something at times kind of offhand that they wish they hadn't said, but it's not really that big a deal. Sometimes we'll look at somebody and we'll look at their body language and we'll get offended, or we'll listen to the tone of their voice and we'll get offended. And the person does not mean any offense whatsoever in those situations. But we get offended. I've had people come to me, you know, a few times in my preaching career and ask me if they had offended me some way. Caught me completely by surprise. No. What are you talking about? Well, just, you know, seemed like, you know, the way you were looking or talking, or maybe seemed like you were avoiding me, or so I just wondered if I'd done something against you, or done something to offend you. I had no idea that I had given that kind of an image to them, and I believe I, you know, explained, no, I've had some things on my mind, you know, and maybe that's what you were reading, but it had nothing to do with them. Well, sometimes, see, we just take offense when no offense is really there. And so if there's something you're concerned about with another person, and particularly a brother or sister in Christ, go to them and talk about it with them. And you may find out they don't even know what you're talking about, or they had no idea that they had offended you in that particular way. So the first classification of worry is we worry about things that have already happened, and we can't make them not have happened by worrying about them. Now, the second classification is we worry about things that almost inevitably will happen. Now, think about that. There are some things that almost without question, they're going to happen, and we worry about those things. Well, does that make them not happen? Because we're talking about things, situations over which we have no control, basically. Many people worry about getting old. What's the alternative? You know, we have in Psalm 90 and verse 10, we have basically God's law of longevity laid out for us. Just as we were born into this world physically, unless the Lord comes again on that final day of judgment, we're going to die physically one day. And so Psalm 90 and verse 10 tells us that God has laid out that on average, we're going to live somewhere between 70 and 80 years, on average. Now you say, well, I know people who are 95, or I know there have been people who are over 100 years old. We have more 100-year-old folks in our country today than we've ever had in the past. Yes, I can agree with that. But we're talking about on average, aren't we? Having been a gospel preacher for a number of decades, I preached funerals for people of all ages, including little children. So when you look at people, and how many times do you read in the obituary page of the newspaper people who have died in their 60s or even 50s? So when you put all of that together and you average it out, we're probably looking at somewhere around 70 to 80, maybe 85 years old on average. Now, but again, you're worrying about getting old? You're going to get old. Why worry about it? Just take care of yourself along the way. People worry about dying. But again, just as surely as we were born physically, we're going to die physically. The Hebrews writer says it is appointed for men to die once. And then he says also, but after this is the judgment. So it's the judgment following death that we ought to really be focused upon and be ready for. And the judgment following physical death ought to worry a whole lot of people because they're not ready for it. They're not living the life that will prepare them to be able to stand before their Lord on that judgment day and give account for their lives and be confident in His grace to pronounce them saved and give them eternal life. We're all going to stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on that judgment day and give account for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. Ignorance will be no excuse. Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. It is appointed. We're going to die physically, and we're going to be judged by our Lord and Savior as to our eternal destiny. Now, if you're living righteously, if you're living by God's teachings faithfully, consistently, if you have been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, and you're living that faithful, dedicated Christian life, you don't have to worry about eternity. If you're living in sinfulness, disobedience, unfaithfulness, you don't have to worry. You can take the steps to receive your forgiveness, and you can get yourself ready. We'll look a little bit more next time. Let's pray. Father, help us to put worry out of our lives by walking with You in faithful obedience consistently and knowing that You're there for us and will always be there for us and with us as we so live. Help us to help other people see their opportunity to put worry out of their lives along this line, Father. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.